morning. This past week was, I know I mentioned it this morning, we appreciated so very much the good Bible school this week that we were privileged to be a part of, and appreciated the theme throughout the week. Actually, it was a study of the life of Joseph, going through various segments of Joseph's life, his rejection, his suffering he went through, and then his being exalted in the end in the household of Pharaoh. Now tonight, I guess you could call this kind of an afterglow of last week. We want to look at one aspect of this whole account, which had to do with Joseph, that the Bible school didn't take us to this particular point this week, but I want to finish up this evening by having us to look at this. And that's in Genesis chapter 49 and verse number 22. Verse number 22, it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Now, in just a few moments, I will attempt to explain the content of this verse, and we'll look at that in just a moment, but let's bow our heads in prayer at this time. Our Father, we give you thanks this evening for, Lord, your blessings upon us this day. We thank you for this Father's Day, the opportunity in our country to honor dads, to show our appreciation for fathers. And our Father, we're glad for the good fathers that we have associated with our church. And we thank you for their families that came out this morning. Many of them had their families here supporting them. And how we appreciate the good service this morning, the total aspect of it. Now, Father in heaven, I pray your blessings this evening. Help us to understand and then, Lord, to have our spiritual batteries charged. We thank you for that song that Sister Kim just sang. Lord, you continue to give. The Bible talks about abundant grace. And Lord, it's not the fact that you just give and then you give up, but you keep giving. Lord, we thank you tonight for that truth. Now, bless us this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, what we have here, we have the final hours of Jacob. Jacob calls his sons to his bedside. Jacob begins to, in his dying breath, Jacob mentions his sons. He mentions the characteristics of his sons. He also would bequeath to his sons a challenge, responsibilities that they needed to lay hold of and to remember after Jacob passes off of the scene. Joseph here is mentioned. Interestingly enough, the patriarch Jacob called Joseph a fruitful bough. You notice that, fruitful bough. And it says, by a wall. And then he said his branches run over the wall. So he focuses his eyes, that is Jacob now, upon Joseph and blesses him. He explains Joseph's faithfulness in verse number 22. He explains it, a verse that that we've already read. He's compared to a fruitful vine, drawing water from a spring, and growing over the wall. Now, the question would come up now, what is Jacob making reference to? How is he describing Joseph here as a faithful bough? What is he thinking? Well, Bible scholars seem to think that Jacob is talking about the two sons of Joseph who would have a leading part in the history of Israel. The two sons, I'm talking about Ephraim and Manasseh. And through them, through their labor and ministry and work and life, we know that much would be accomplished. They're to become two prominent tribes. In fact, they're to become two of the most popular tribes when it came to the matter of Israel. Now, you'll notice in verse number 23 that Jacob mentions his foes. Now, you'll notice this. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, referencing Joseph. And I believe that perhaps that verse is dovetailing with what we studied this past week in Bible school, when we think of how the archers shot at Joseph, how he was wounded. And we studied this week about how he was betrayed by his brothers, how he was sold into slavery, how he winds up in Egypt, then how he winds up in prison because he's falsely accused, then how he suffers there in prison. But yet through it all, God vindicates him. He maintains his character. He's honest. And there's one thing that I really appreciated this week in the excellent materials that Bruce and Darla chose for the Bible school materials. I appreciated the good emphasis that the author made that Joseph, even while he was in prison, he still maintained a servant's heart. He still was willing to serve. He did not develop animosity or bitterness or unkindness. He still kept his cool. He still was kind and considerate. He maintained his integrity. And we mentioned this past week that usually if a person suffers like Joseph did, it would become easy, based upon the human nature, to fight fire with fire, to become bitter, to become unkind, to develop the wrong kind of a spirit. But Joseph maintained himself through it all. And God was with him and blessing him. And eventually we know that he is promoted to a position of the second power in Egypt. So he had foes that shot at him. The archers shot at him. But he didn't shoot back. And that's a point that we can note. And then he reviews his faith. Here's what we notice here. He explains his fruitfulness. Jacob explains Joseph's fruitfulness. He's like a bough whose branches go over the wall. Then he mentions his foes, how the archers shot at him. Then he reviews his faith in verse number 24. Notice how that verse reads. The Bible says, "But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." Notice that the shepherd and the stone of Israel. Could I suggest a thought here tonight? When we think of those two analogies, the shepherd and the stone, let's tie that in with Jesus Christ. You could say his first coming, he came as it were a shepherd. His second coming will be as the stone, cut out, not without hands, Daniel chapter 2. So the shepherd, we think of his first coming. And the stone, we think of his coming at the end of the tribulation, where that stone came down and became a great mountain. And of course the mountain is in reference to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So we see him as the shepherd and as the stone. Interesting thought. But it should not surprise any of us because the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. Anywhere you turn, whatever you look at, you don't have to look too hard. A diligent student of Scripture will always see Christ. You always will. He describes his fullness. Verses 25 and 26, his fullness. Jacob talks about Joseph's fullness. 25 and 26, "Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee? By the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessing of thy father hath prevailed above the blessing of my progenitors. Unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren." Oh yes, he was separate from his brethren. He was set apart from his brethren. His brethren, however, found forgiveness. His brethren, however, were not met by a brother that they had sold into slavery that turned on them with bitterness and despite. In fact, in the end, you know how Joseph mentions the fact they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So it was still the providence of God working all along. There was nothing out of order, not a thing. It was still God working. Interesting thought. None of us could excuse the sin of his brothers. None of us could excuse what he went through and could think that, you know, that in itself was a blessing of God. But yet again, tied in with Romans 8:28, though. Those things were still working to serve a purpose. And in the end, Joseph is the man in Egypt in charge of the foodstuffs. And they had to come to him if they wanted to eat. Another good point brought out this past week. There was a famine. The famine covered the entire earth. But the waters of the flood covered the entire earth. The worst catastrophe since the flood. And so nations from all around came up to Egypt to buy bread, or rather to buy corn, to buy grain, to buy food. From all of the nations. Good point. The point is simply this. Through Jesus Christ, Joseph was a type of him. Through Jesus Christ, all nations are blessed. Through him. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the whole world. Joseph was a type of Christ. All nations benefited from what Joseph had to offer. And tonight, it's a glorious gospel truth when preachers can preach to congregations and tell people, regardless of background, culture, regardless of color of skin, regardless of where we come from, Jesus died for every sinner. He paid sin's debt in full. There's not a person that God loves any more than the other person. He loves us all the same. Salvation is available for anyone. So all nations could become a part of that blessing. Now here, in our verse, in our text, it talks about a fruitful bough by a well. The thought is, by the well, over the wall. By the well, over the wall. Now, think about something. Think about it. It says he's a fruitful bough. Then it says his branches run over the wall. Now, think about a vine, if you would. A vine. What is true about a vine? Well, in wintertime, the vine looks dead. I'm thinking of a passage of Scripture that says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus said, I'm the vine. I'm the vine. In wintertime, a vine looks dead. Now, could I mention to you tonight, the cross was the saddest hour of winter. But winter ended. And spring came. The sap began to flow. The branches began to come forth. Jesus as a vine. The worst part of it all was the cross. The deadest time of winter, so to speak. But he arose again. Springtime came. Because of that vine. By the way, I'm the vine, you're the branches, he said, John 15. So much truth there. But think about the vine here. The fruitful bough. By the well, over the wall. I'm going to keep bearing that point home tonight. I want us to think about it. By the well, over the wall. By the well, over the wall. You won't forget that, I'm sure. By the well, over the wall. Now, there must be an attachment and a source of water. In order for there to be fruit, there has to be a source of water. Well, by the well. Jesus said, every branch in me. In me. And then he said in Psalm 87:7, here's a good one, here's one worth shouting over. Psalm 87:7, all my springs are in thee. All my springs are in thee. Now, let me make a comparison. Mushrooms can grow up and survive on surface water. They can come up overnight. They can die overnight. They can survive on surface water. But not an oak tree. an oak tree is totally different. They have their root system that penetrates down deep beneath the soil. And now there's a good comparison here to make. The people of God cannot compare themselves to a mushroom, but to an oak tree. Our springs are in Him. We're by the well. He's the vine, we're the branches. And you know, a point here, we need to be rooted by the well, and we need to drink from the fountains of His grace too, don't we? John 15, abide in Him. God's people need to know more of the secret of the hidden life. Here's what I'm saying tonight. The people of God, already in Christ, He's the source of our life. We're in Him. He's in us. In Him we live and move and have our being. He sustains us. But you know, we're quick to forget that. We're quick to forget the fact that God's people have more than a little bit of a religion that covers them like a facade. You and I tonight are feeding upon Christ. We're a part of Him, you see. And that's so important. Now let me keep going here tonight. Joseph, as an offshoot in the text here, was connected to the vine and was watered by the well. He was watered by the well. Now here's something you'll appreciate, especially if you were a student in Bible school. You'll appreciate the fact, as Joseph was an offshoot, positioned by the well, branches went over the wall. You'll appreciate this. He was blessed, and others were blessed because of him. The branches went over the wall. Others were blessed because of him. Well, those two fellow prisoners were blessed. Of course, one of them didn't live long enough to give a testimony of it. But it sure did have an opportunity. You know, the baker mentioned this past week. We had the baker, the butler, and I kept looking for the candlestick maker. I couldn't find him. Now, the butler did okay. But the butler had a short memory, though, didn't he? The butler, when he got out, he forgot the favors that Joseph had showed toward him. And that's a good example there of how you and I are guilty of that. Somebody's kind to us and good to us. We've been blessed, and sometimes we forget people. We forget acts of kindness. You know, if there's anything that we ought to tune in more on and hone in more on, it ought to be we should never take lightly when people are good to us. When people are kind to us, we should not forget that. I believe God is pleased when the people of God appreciate blessings and appreciate others. Now, Joseph had been very nice to that butler, but that butler forgot it. But anyway, think about it now. Vine over the wall, well. You could put it like this. In my mind, I can picture a farmer. Let's say this farmer has let's say he has cucumber vines. Let's say he has a wall there between two houses, and sometimes walls do make good neighbors, don't they? Shouldn't be that way. I couldn't imagine that Christians would have that policy. But anyway, let's say those vines grow over the wall, and big old cucumbers. Or if you happen to like tomatoes better, which I do, let's imagine tomatoes. Then let's say that the neighbors get along so well. One of them tells the other one, well, you feel free. You just pick those tomatoes whenever you want to because they're growing over the wall anyway. They're growing down on the other man's property anyway. So he tells them, you help yourself. You can have them. So the neighbor is benefiting from the produce of the neighbor whose vine runs over the wall. I look at Joseph. That's the way it was. His vine ran over the wall. Egypt was blessed. My, oh my, Israel was sure blessed. Because Joseph was there The famine came. The famine was had seven-year-old tenure to it. And Joseph provided the food. And so his family came. He takes care of his family. Israel, Jacob, of course, was Israel through him. Of course, 12 tribes. And you could say through Jacob, that's how we have Israel. So anyway, Israel moves to Egypt. And that was in schedule. That was on God's prophetic calendar. They spent 400 years there. God raised up Moses and finally takes them out. And that was on time too, on schedule. And they go into the promised land later on. So I'm just saying, Egypt was blessed. Israel was blessed. Because Joseph was a fruitful vine. And God's people tonight need to be fruitful vines. Our branches ought to go over the wall. We ought to be a blessing and an encouragement to other people. I'm not talking about literal neighbors. Some people's neighbors. Some people, when they think of neighbors, they think of that neighbor on home improvement. See nothing, old Wilson, you see nothing but the top of their eyes peering over the wall. But Joseph, you see, sets a good example. And let me say something tonight. Is there a taproot to your religion? I'm talking about that goes down deep beneath the topsoil into the very depth of the grace of God. One that reaches the water. One that feeds from the well. Can you say in the words of the psalmist in Psalm 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. To be fruitful, we must be connected. We must draw our life from the vine. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you cannot relate to what I'm saying. Religion's not going to save you. You need more than surface religion. You need to have what you have taprooted in the person of Jesus Christ by the grace of God. You can't make it through the storms of life. You can't make it when troubles come. You need God in your life. If you're here this evening and you've never been saved, I can tell you tonight you're in the right place at the right time. When we give the invitation, come down this aisle, get saved tonight. It's not worth losing your soul over. Jesus died for you. And you can know Him. A fruitful Christian, and let me talk about that for just a few moments. A fruitful Christian is regulated by spiritual principles, not by passion. They're regulated by spiritual principles. Too many people have only religious spasms. Religious spasms. They're like certain insects that change colors to match the surroundings. They're like politicians, is what they're like. Change colors. How many times has old Sleepy Joe changed his mind on things? Because as it gets closer and closer to the election, he wants to make sure that he pleases a whole crowd. That's what he wants to do. That's what politicians do. They're crowd pleasers. And I don't intend, please understand me, I don't intend to get political. I honestly don't. But I can't help it there's so many good illustrations from those sorry politicians that are supposed to be our good leaders. They're like the, what is it that changes colors? What do you call that thing? Chameleon, that's what they're like. In other words, they're people pleasers. They're going to say what people want to hear. Whatever happened to old-fashioned convictions? You know, I got to thinking about something. We have the Democrats. We have the Republicans. The Democrats talk about democracy. Well, put the two words together. Democrats, democracy. Now take the word Republican. Now think of the word republic. Now here's my question tonight. What are we? Are we a democracy or are we a constitutional republic? You know the answer. We're a constitutional republic. That's what we are. We elect politicians. Politicians are to submit themselves, their leadership to the nation, under and through the principles set forth in the Constitution. None of them have a right to circumvent the Constitution. They are bound by the Constitution. That's the Bible of our political system. That's what it is. But you see, and again, instead of changing colors, instead of changing convictions, we ought to know what's right and stick to it. We ought to know what's best for this country and stick to it. We should be willing to put the good of our country above our political agenda. But again, here I go again. But you see, there's Christians like that though. There's Christians tonight, quote unquote, professing Christians, that sell out to the crowd. They say what sounds good. They can talk the talk, but too many are not walking the walk. I'll tell you, biblically, we have old-fashioned Bible convictions that we're to be controlled by. And they're not to change. Every one of us ought to stand on Bible doctrine, ought to have the conviction that doctrine is of number one importance in the church. And none of us should be willing to compromise. You know what God expects out of me as a pastor? God expects me to stand for the truth, to preach the truth, and if that results in the consequences of failure of people to accept it, then I still have the responsibility still to hold to the truth and not to budge. And that's true of every Christian. In other words, we all have a higher set of principles governing us. And I've said this before. It's not my paycheck that governs me here at Smith Grove Baptist Church. It's commitment to the truth. You can have my paycheck before I give up my doctrinal convictions. And that's the way it ought to be with every Christian. Not just me, you too. Because it's that serious. Fruitful Christians regulated by spiritual principles, not by passion. And a fruitful Christian doesn't need someone else's well to drink from. They have their own. We can't go by someone else's coattail in terms of their religion. Have you ever been driving down the road in the country and look out in a field, and one of the most unusual sights you'll ever see is a calf nursing its mother. Now, that in itself is not too unusual. But when you see a calf as big as its mother, it's time that it quits nursing and starts eating on its own. Now, that's what you call a freeloader. We ought to be freeloaders. We ought to be feeding ourselves. We ought to be taking in the nourishment ourselves. We ought to be standing on our own feet. We ought to be nourished by Christ. You know, here's a good test. If everybody around you decided, let's say the church becomes one big backslider. Let's say 99% of the people in this church decide they're going to quit. And that leaves the 1%. Are you willing to be the 1%? Are you going to go with the 99? Let's say for no reason. Let's say people just say, I quit. Now, would you quit? In other words, what brings us here ought to keep us here. If we come here because of Christ and belief in the truth that's being preached, until the preacher begins to compromise, I don't think God changes his mind, do you? Here's what I see in this day and time. I see people, it's almost like the people, some people's like the grocery shopping. This is one thing I have against gospel singers. You don't mind me telling you this, do you? Some gospel singers are nothing but spiritual tramps. They travel everywhere. They don't get settled anywhere. They sing everywhere. They go everywhere, but they don't get settled anywhere. Here's how I look at it. If I'm not going to preach in a church that's liberal, that does not preach the gospel, I don't think we should sing in it either. Because it's ministry, isn't it? and we compliment where we go. Now, I know you're probably thinking that's extreme convictions. Well, feel however you want to about it. But I say we need to have consistency in our conviction. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. How can we separate people? When we, listen to me, whatever we do in this church is ministry, right? Choir sings ministry. Spatial music ministry. Deacon board ministry. Sunday school teachers ministry. Well, ministry is ministry, right? How can we then say, well, there's an exception to what I do. It's okay. Well, if it's not okay for me, it wouldn't be okay for you because it's all ministry. See the point? Get quiet on me if you want to. But that's the truth. We need solid convictions. We're like Joseph, grew up from the well, over the wall, and people were blessed. And I believe God will honor and be pleased in that. That's only half of my message, but I have enough sense to know it's time to quit.